Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast, heard on this station every day, Monday through Friday at the same time. And on Monday's broadcast, we began looking at some verses in Judges, the sixth chapter, from the experience of Gideon and the people of Israel at that time. And no matter how difficult our situation looks like, God is here, present with us. He's a very present help in the time of need. That means whatever you're going through at this point in time, whatever you may be facing, as hopeless as it might look in the natural, God is there with you. You've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior in your life. The situation of Israel was extremely desperate. In fact, Gideon, this nobody, least in all, if it's in his father's family, he was threshing wheat in the wine press because he was hiding from the Midianites. They had impoverished the land. And so we wanted to look at what was going on. How could possibly the angel of the Lord address him, "Go in this thy might"? Well, of course, he was calling those things as though the things that are not as though they were. God sees us in a different way. But also there were some real dynamics going on. And the first thing was he had a definite personal experience. And beloved, if you've walked with the Lord any length of time, you know the faithfulness of the Lord. Regardless of what you might be going through right now, think back. First of all, your life was radically changed when Jesus came into your life. In verse 12, it says, "The angel of the Lord appeared unto him." And beloved, unless we each have a definite personal experience of salvation, unless we, something like encountering Jesus takes place in our lives, there's no way certainly we can lead another to the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's no way we can have victory. So at some point in every Christian's life, they had a one-on-one encounter with the living Lord Jesus. And that's what it took with Gilead. He actually had to have a face-on-face encounter, if you would, with the angel of the Lord. And he really meant, I mean, when God called him, of course, you know, he went through he put out fleeces twice. You know, if there was dew on the ground, not on the sheep's wool, then he had to have constant confirmation and encouragement, and that ought to bless our hearts, because many times we feel so uncertain of ourselves, but he really meant it. In fact, we see when in verse 27, well, let me start with verse 25. "And it came to pass, after he built an altar to the Lord, Jehovah Shalom, he named it. It came to pass that that same night the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock, and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, and did as the Lord had said unto him, and so it was, because he feared He's not a very courageous man at this point. He feared his father's household and the men of the city that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. So we see he's obeying the Lord, but he's very uncertain, and he's certainly not very confident. He's still coming to terms with and dealing with the fact that he really is being called of God, anointed of God. And many times, do you question that? It seems when the difficulties surround you, or God's asking you to do something which you feel is so beyond yourself, all you can do is focus on your weakness. But he felt, you know, he just said, I'm least in my father's house. He just was definitely feeling that he was not at all capable to this job that God had called him to. And, you know, when God calls us, we have an personal experience with him, and we should not forget that. You know, we see this in the life of Paul. When he had his tremendous Damascus experience, he went into the desert of Arabia for 3 years. For 3 years, we didn't hear anything about him except he was there. And for a time of immediate and personal revelation of the divine presence of God in our lives, we need that same kind of experience. Not just going to church, not just becoming a member of denomination just because our parents were, but having a definite and immediate and personal revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then that's absolutely necessary for us to lead a victorious Christian life, as well as to do any real service for the Lord. And then we see there was divine favor. He called him, the angel of the Lord called him, a mighty man of valor. As I've shared, God sees us so much differently, so differently than we see ourselves. And then in verse 14, I'll turn, it says, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. The Lord looked upon him. That was a look of divine favor. His smile, his looking upon us, is a wonderful source of comfort and strength and power in the difficulties that you might be facing right now. Psalm 11 and 7 says, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. His eyes are upon the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. Psalm 42 and 5 says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance, for his look, for his divine favor. Praise God. And then also, what other element was going on in Gideon? He had a healthy discontent. Things are finally so, and sometimes it takes us finally getting so fed up, so distraught, so upset with what the enemy is doing, that we finally start seeking God, calling out to God, and examining our lives to see what is it, what have we done, where do we get off? And of course, he asks that question. He says in verse 13, why then, he asks this of the angel of the Lord, why then is all this befallen us? Where are all his miracles, which our father told us of? And, you know, we might say this today. Lord, we read your word. We see all the mighty miracles that you did there, the spectacular miracles. You caused Israel to tread on dry ground through the Red Sea. You raised people to life that were dead in Jesus' ministry. He gave sight to the blind. The lame leaped for joy. Lord, where are all your miracles today? Well, we know they're certainly happening in the nations of the earth, where missionaries are going and preaching the gospel. There's many incredible miracles taking place, and there are some happening, of course, in this country too, some miraculous. So God has not changed, but for the vast majority of Christians, just like in Gideon's case, that, you know, their heart may be tender before the Lord, but all they see is, you know, I don't see God's favor, that's for sure. So God is, he's looking at Gideon, and this is the question, why has all this befallen us? But he, and furthermore, he says, now the Lord's forsaken us. He's delivered us into the hands of Midianites. And basically, God is questioning one of the angel's assertions that the Lord is with you. That's what he said. And to this first assertion, Gideon puts a historical question, followed by a request for validation. Show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Well, it's very interesting, as I read that verse, that question is totally ignored by the angel of the Lord. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord has already given us an answer, as well as the people of Israel, in the previous verses. It's very clear when the Lord sent the prophet of the Lord. In verse 7 it says that the prophet said, thus says the Lord, I brought you out of the land of Egypt. He said, I fear not, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. It's just that simple. There was disobedience. That's your answer, Gideon. So the angel of the Lord just ignores that because the prophet had brought that word. And beloved, if you and I would earnestly seek the Lord in our distress, he will not withhold himself or the answers to our questioning. Whatever it is, if you're really, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a contrite heart, God will not turn his face away. And then, Lord, we also see meekness and humility. In verse 16, Gideon says, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am least in my father's house. Well, that might be, but he still, obviously there had to be some aristocratic lineage there, because in verse 27 it says he's not taken from the lower class. He calls 10 of his father's servants. Obviously someone poor is not able to have servants. So we see, as according to 1 Corinthians 1:27, that God's strength is made perfect in weakness. 1 Corinthians 1:27 says, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Amen. Well, my time has flown by, and we'll just pick this up on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you so much for joining me. I just love to be able to share this time with you, and I encourage you, if you need the support of a great prayer, note down that contact information. Send me an email or letter, and I will personally pray for you and send back whatever God gives me for your encouragement. I love you. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for listening. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.
Oh,